You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I am officially running for President of the United States.
Primary consultant is myself because I have a very good brain and I've said a lot of things.
When you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
I like China.
You can win against China if you're smart.
So don't tell me about China. I know China.
China! I beat the people from China. What the hell is going on?
It's time for State of the States.
I don't know, where to begin.
That's right, it is now time for State of the States, our weekly feature unpacking the week's events in the United States of America. This week we chat with news editor Nick Sawani from WNYU, New York University's radio station. We are talking this week about what's going down in the North Korea-US relations and the attention-grabbing election in the state of Georgia.
So this week, we've got big news coming out of North Korea. I mean, so Otto Warmbier was released and then very tragically died within a week after his return to the United States. So in the wake of his death, and there are three more US citizens still detained in North Korea, Trump is definitely faced with some issues in terms of how he's going to retaliate. He tweeted about China the day after Warmbier's death, basically writing off his China strategy. So what happened here?
As we all know, this is a kid that was sent back to the United States, passed away. And yeah, Donald Trump, rather than really, you know, doing anything substantial about it, seems like he took to Twitter, as he does with a lot of issues. And he's essentially trying to, like, make it look like nothing about this is his fault and how it's he still, like, hates North Korea and all these things. I'm not really sure, actually, about the relationship with China and how that affects this. He just tweeted North Korea is behaving really badly, and you know, Trump's trying his best to make it seem like any connections China would have to North Korea are not connected to him at all. But Donald Trump's friendliness towards China, while also openly talking against China because of their economic success over us, I don't know, it adds a lot of layers to this story, I guess. But the bottom line is that this kid died as soon as he got back from North Korea. And Donald Trump has said China should have helped, which it's unclear what he means by that, what he thinks China should have done to help with this incident. And it just kind of points to the unclarity when your head of state decides to make public statements through Twitter rather than through normal means.
Yeah, well, his tweet was kind of a little bit cryptic. He said, what did he say? He said, I greatly appreciate the efforts of President Xi and China to help with North Korea. It has not worked out. At least I know China tried. So it's as though he's completely just writing them off and implying that, you know, now it's this turn of the United States to step in, which is interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, there's not a whole lot that can be done at this point, really. I mean, what do you think are some of the sort of the sanctions that the U.S. can apply?
You know, there's not much more we can do to add to North Korea. So it becomes this question of, do we want to, like, after we can get all the Americans there out, do we want to just keep it the way it is with sanctions against North Korea and get other countries on board too? Do we have to specifically start fighting Russia and China to get them to put sanctions on North Korea? Or will we have to wait for this to escalate into a bigger military conflict before something can be solved? And there's no easy solution to this, because either way, we could either let the threat continue and let more things like this happen, or like we would have to enter into like an armed conflict with North Korea. And I think the way that most people say this should be solved is like diplomatically with Russia, to like make them stop supporting North Korea behind the scenes if they do. And it's just it's a very muddy situation overall, I would say.
So. There's a meeting with Chinese officials very shortly. Do you know what can really be expected from that? I mean, why do you think China aren't keen to act on North Korea?
Well, because North Korea and China have always had kind of friendlier relationships. I'm not really sure what China feels like they need to do or what Donald Trump is going to ask China to do, because, like, yeah, China's connection with North Korea goes all the way back to the Korean War, obviously. So it's hard to... it's hard to know what they're thinking because we have a president who's so vocal on Twitter and stuff like that. It's easy to know what Donald Trump is thinking, but China's policies on North Korea, it's almost like North Korea is like a bad child of China, and so they quietly, you know, let things happen, but also they don't openly support North Korea. So it's really hard to know what China's thinking here and what Donald Trump wants to do. We'll have to wait until press comes out about their meeting to see what really happens.
It's almost like China don't want to act because it would unleash. I mean, if they were to end the regime in North Korea, I mean, the borders would just be dissolved. You know, they'd have refugees flooding into China. It's just
right.
I mean, it would become China's problem. Like, there'd be a humanitarian crisis almost. It's kind of
right.
It's almost disappointing. It's like is it the US's responsibility to act on this with China? Don't.
I think as long as there are Americans in danger directly as a result, then the United States should be doing what it can, and that's like something that most Americans think. The problem, the controversy comes when it's once there aren't Americans in danger. Like, is it our responsibility alone to go fight against North Korea, or should we be able to get more of the world on board and not make it only our responsibility, right? That's where the big conflict happens. And it's unclear what position China would take if it escalated to that. So these are all questions of what would happen if the situation escalated, because, you know, North Korea has been making the same threats and doing the same things for, you know, the past couple of decades. It's really just like these more questions of like every time something changes politically, now what would happen if it escalated? But there's no signs of anything escalating anytime soon unless, you know, there's something going on that we don't know about.
Has there been much of a response from Congress? I mean, in terms of tightening economic sanctions or trying to cut any travel of Americans to North Korea? Do you think that Wonbia's death is actually going to change any sort of foreign policy or any legislation?
It might be too soon to tell. Right now, it looks like most of Congress is not focused on North Korea or really any other international issues right now. They're still mainly focusing on the Obamacare replacement and on this. Recently, at least, a lot of Congress has been talking about and focused on the election in Georgia that happened this week.
That election came in. Why has this? Why has Georgia been so such a sort of pivotal election? Why is it capturing so much attention?
You know, it's a big deal because both Democrats and Republicans have chosen to make it a big deal, right? There's nothing inherent about Georgia itself, about that election itself. It's just that there was a congressional special election because the representative in Georgia for the House left to take a job under President Trump's cabinet. And so now suddenly after the Trump presidency, after he's set some bills in motion with the American Healthcare Act, suddenly there's an election. And so the reason that news outlets and that the Democratic and Republican Party have, you know, turned this into a big deal is because it's representative of, okay, like, is what's happening right now appealing to voters still, or is it not? Is it something that's going to actually create change, or is it not? And, you know, what we saw is that because the Republicans won yesterday or earlier this week, I'm not sure exactly when, that means that a lot of the current Republican policies, a lot of the current like actions in Congress about like pushing for the American Healthcare Act, even though it looks like a lot of the populace might not want it, the Republicans winning just tells them to keep doing what they're doing, which if you're a Democrat isn't great, right? And so it's all about the signals that it sends. Had the Democrats won, then Republican Party fragmentation would have increased. They would be more cautious about going forward with controversial bills like the American Healthcare Act. But instead, what we're seeing is that the Republicans won, even though there's a lot of vocal, like, you know, negativity towards the Republican Party and Donald Trump. They still have a voter base in the country. And even if it's just even though it's just one district in Georgia, suddenly Republicans are able to see it as a sign to keep doing what they're doing and continue with controversial policies, and that like their seats are still stable, even if it's mainly about like the American Healthcare Act that people care about this.
Do you think Do you think that there's something to be said about, because it was such a tight race, and the Democrat John Ossoff, I mean, it was something like 47% to 52%. Like, do you think that it is still viable that Democrats could flip red districts in the era of Trump?
You know, it all depends on how they run their campaign. So yeah, there was a difference of 10,000 votes in this election, and what a lot of the criticism from even Democrats towards the Democratic Party was that we're running the campaigns like Republicans, because this campaign that John Ossoff ran was like a fully money-oriented campaign. The Democratic Party really hyped up this election more so than the Republican Party did, thinking that if they raise enough money, they could win. And in general, we saw characteristics of his campaign be like Republicans. And because Republicans had won, the Democrats thought running their campaign like a Republican would help them. And clearly that doesn't appeal to the Democrats' voter base. And clearly it doesn't. And there's been a lot of problems with the DNC, with the Democratic Party, because they keep on making mistakes in how they run their campaigns. And even if like most Americans agree with their policy positions, the Democrats, the bureaucracy of the party is just so muddled, especially after this election, that they're not sure how to run campaigns properly. And that's why they're losing. So, you know, if they figure out how to run campaigns properly, if they figure out how to actually get voters to go vote for them, and they figure out how to actually get that going, then there's a very, very real possibility of flipping districts, because the majority of the country still agrees with the Democrats' beliefs politically. It's just about getting those people to vote. And the Democrats are not able to rile up their supporters as much as Republicans do. And that's because the Democrats, you know, have often tried to play nice, while Republican candidates like Donald Trump have been able to say very, very controversial things and just have more voters be riled up about it. So, you know, a lot of people are saying that the Democrats should stop trying to, you know, play nice and start running hard-hitting campaigns, because there's no sign of the Republicans changing their campaign tactics anytime soon.
Are there any more similar elections coming up where Democrats can sort of, I guess, have their time to shine and, you know, prove themselves and their campaigning tactics?
Well, there's the midterm elections a year and a half from now, where there's going to be a lot of turnover in Congress. But South Carolina also had a special election the same time as Georgia. It wasn't talked about as much because there wasn't as much money there, but there also was a special election there. That just hasn't been talked about that much. And the Republican candidate, Ralph Norman, also won in that district, right? So this is a clearly – it's clearly like a structural issue with the Democrats, because they haven't been able to really – they didn't win either of the special elections. It's just Georgia was more popularized. But South Carolina's 5th district also had an election. And unless there's more like congressional like appointments to Trump's cabinet from Congress, which I don't think are anticipated, we'll be able to see the Democrats have a year and a half to figure out what they're going to do. And if people are riled up enough and care enough by the 2018 midterm elections for Congress, then we can see a very real possibility of the House becoming Democrat and the Senate becoming Democrat, or at least the margins there being shortened in favor of the Democrats. So That's when we'll really see, is in 2018. But these special elections are not a good sign for the Democrats in the midterm elections a year and a half from now.
Excuse me. I'm really rich.
That was State of the States.
Bye-bye.
How stupid is this?
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.